And the same unlimited obeisance.
Number 20th. And the dust of the lotus feet of
my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad Astotra Satishi Shimai. Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. We all welcome back Anandini after all this time from Nepal. So now after a week and a half or so of doing an overview of the entire Bhagavad Gita in honor of Sri Gita Jayanti, we're returning to Sri Jaiva Dharma, and we're on chapter 21, which is the Prameya, or the truth that is found in the reservoir or embodiment of evidence and truth, that is the Vedas. This particular truth is called Abhideya Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Chapter 20, which we studied previously, was called Abhideya Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which was all about the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, and particularly we spent some time with the 64 limbs of Bhakti, which we all know well now. So now, after explaining that to Brajanath and his uncle Vijay Kumar at his ashram in Srivas Angam, Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya, the spiritual master, promised to explain to them about spontaneous devotion, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, which is also in the category of Abhideya. Abhideya is one of the three themes of all the Vedic literatures. There are only three themes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. That is, in his talks with Srila Sanatana Goswami, he said that in all the Vedic literatures, there's only three themes: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. What is our relationship with God? Who is God? That is Sambandha. What are the dealings of that relationship performed in order to reach perfection? That is called Abhideya. And what is the perfection? Prayojana. So these are the three themes in all the Vedic literatures. So Abhideya, the process to realize perfection, has two categories. Vaidhi, sadhana bhakti, because another name for Abhideya would be sadhana in that case, and Raganuga sadhana bhakti. Now we're about to begin the study of Raganuga sadhana bhakti, chapter 21. When Vijay Kumar and his nephew Brajanath heard all the very wonderful things about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, they became very convinced that one must accept a bona fide self-realized spiritual master, one must accept Harinam and Diksha from him, that is, that spiritual master has to be a Siddha Mahatma, or a fully self-realized soul, personally experiencing his own relationship with Krishna. And with that qualification, he can give the seed of such bhakti that one can enter the supreme abode of the Lord. Therefore, being so inspired by him, they decided to accept Harinam and Diksha from him. Vijay Kumar, who's the uncle of Brajanath, had already received Diksha mantras from his family guru. But he understood that not only is there no benefit from hearing the Diksha mantras from a non-Vaishnava, but actually one can be so misled that he can go to hell in the name of having received Diksha from a non-Vaishnava. So they understood the regulations in the Shastra that when enlightenment comes to one that I must have a bona fide guru, when that time comes, in his performance of Sukritis after so many millions of births, and having then obtained such pure association, Bhaktistu Bhagavata Bhakti Sangena Parijayate Satsanga Labhyate Punbir Sukritai Purva Sanskritai. After many, many millions of births of performing Sukritis, spiritual pious activities, one gets the association of a bhakta. From his association, one gets bhakti. One doesn't go directly from Sukritis to bhakti. So now they're understanding this. So when the proper discrimination is awakened in one's heart, then he knows I have to take proper diksha. Even if I've had it already from a non-proper Vaishnava, I have to forget all about that and take proper diksha. Then, very quickly, one can attain Sudha Bhakti. So they went to Shiva Sangam, they bathed in the Ganges, put on tilak on all the 12 parts of their body, and they arrived before their spiritual master, their Shiksha spiritual master, who would now become their Diksha spiritual master. And they offered him prostrated obeisances at his lotus feet. And even though he knew everything, just like Gurudev said, why do you go to astrologers? I can simply look at your forehead and tell you 10 million births, past and future. So the pure devotee is Trikalagya. He knows everything past and present and future, but often he acts like an ordinary person. So he asked, oh, why have you come so early in the morning? What's the news? So they begged him that we're very fallen and wretched, and we beg that your mercy, that you'll save us. So he was very pleased with their very humble attitude, which is the qualification of the disciple. And he separately, he didn't do it as the group of two, but he individually brought them into his kutir and separately gave them the diksha mantras, which they repeated back to him. And this is the real meaning of diksha. There's two kinds of initiation. One is Vidva Varudi Diksha and one is Anusthanika Diksha. Anusthanika Diksha is where the disciple's not really qualified and you're going through all the motions, swaha, swaha, repeating the mantra, but it's really just a practice session. It's not real diksha. And then Vidva Varudi Diksha is when it's real. So now we're going to see, this is the example of Vidva Varudi Diksha. So what happened? As soon as they got the 18-syllable mantra from Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaja, immediately they started dancing and crying out, Jai Gauranga, Jai Gauranga, and tears were falling from their eyes. They now got their three strands of the tulsi neck beads and the sacred thread, which looked very beautiful on their very brilliant bodies, which looked very charming due to their own ecstasies. And they immediately exhibited the astasattvic bhavs. They experienced like prem already. And the spiritual master is so humble that he said to them, oh, from this day you have sanctified me. On this day you have sanctified my life. And then they repeatedly took the dust from his lotus feet and smeared it all over their bodies in so much joy. And then they had brought, because now it was their big Diksha initiation festival, so they, just like people sponsor feasts, so they had brought so much bhoga from their home and they requested the pujari to offer all their bhoga, which he did. So that was going to be the prasadam after all the ceremonies. And then as the priest was offering the bhoga, they all sang the Bhajabhakata Bhatsala Sri Gaura Hari song, the bhoga arti song, with, just like we do with kartals, Radungas, big symbols. So many Vaishnavas assembled for the kirtan. And they all honored prasadam in the Natya Mandir, the big place where everybody dances, like this place. Everybody took prasadam there. Just as during Kartik, so many devotees take prasadam. So now, Vijay Kumar and Brajanath, with very in great humility and with folded palms, they told all those Vaishnavas, "You are great renounced Vaishnavas. We will be so fortunate if we can take your ambrosial remnants. We don't want to take first, we want to take whatever you've left." Because the other Vaishnavas had said to them, they were first waiting for everybody to take. You know, they weren't doing anything, they didn't sit down. They were waiting for everybody else to take, and then they would take the remnants. And then the other Vaishnavas said to them, "No, you are Grihastha Vaishnavas, we will be blessed by offering prostrated obeisances in the dust of your lotus feet." But they refused to accept that. They said, "We just want your remnants, so please take prasadam." And they said, "So far as Vaishnavism is concerned, there's no difference between a householder Vaishnava and a renunciate Vaishnava. Vaishnavas are compared not by if they're married or not, but due to their devotion." Let's take Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the author of Jiva Dharma. He was a householder and he had so many children. But he and his family were all steeped in devotion. The more advanced devotee is simply the one with the deeper devotion for Sri Krishna. Then they all sat together, and conversing in this way and honoring prasadam, but still Vijay and Brajana, they refused to take anything. They just sat quietly. Keeping, even though they had the prasadam plate in front of them, they wouldn't take. So then some of the other Vaishnavas noticed this, and they said, because they knew what their motive was, they said, "O chief of the Vaishnavas, please be kind to your faithful disciples, otherwise they will not take." They told Raghunath Das Babaji, "Be kind to them, otherwise they're not going to take." So then he took, Babaji Mahasaya, their Gurudev, he took the prasadam off of his plate and gave it to them, and then they would take that. They accepted his remnants with great faith. So this is just so exemplary. Like, we have the prasadam in front of us, and then what faith, what kind of faith do we have that this is actually eaten by Krishna and then taken by my Gurudev, who has made it even more powerful. When the Guru takes prasadam, it's called Maha Maha Prasadam, even more powerful than Krishna's prasadam. And faith that it's non-different from Radha and Krishna, and that my Gurudev has honored this prasadam not only in his male sadhaka form, but also in his female form as a manjari. Along with all the other manjaris, they've taken Radha and Krishna's remnants. So with that great faith, they take prasadam. So they accepted the remnants with great faith, uttering as they took prasadam. Maybe we can do that tomorrow. Sri Gurave Namaha. And they began to honor their prasad. While all the devotees were still taking prasad, they called out, "Sadhu Savahana." What does that mean? "Be very careful not to overeat." It's funny. Warning each other. All glories to the greatness of prasadam. I remember in 1967, we were all having prasadam with Prabhupada in the temple room, and Prabhupada called out, "All glories to the supplier of prasadam and all glories to the taker of prasadam." It's such a glorious devotional service. So then, this is real diksha. all the devotees present, we hear about it, but they experienced it. In Navadvip, when we were all there some 2 or 3 years ago, this was when we were still at Devananda Gaudiya Mutt. It was the day before Parikrama would start. And Gurudev was giving a class, and he said, who's feeding all these 21,000 devotees? It's Sakshi Mata and Vishnu Priya Devi. He said, you see nothing but heads and heads and heads. So who is arranging for all this prasadam? Sakshi Mata and Vishnu Priya Devi. So we heard it, Gurudev saw it, and similarly, all the Vaishnavas present at Shiva Sangam, with Babaji Mahasaya, all the other renounced devotees, and all the household devotees who just got initiated, everyone perceived Sri Sakshi Devi, Sita, I guess that's the wife of Advaitacharya, and Malini Devi, bringing in the prasadam. Can you imagine? Wow, what ecstasy. While Mahaprabhu himself sat and lovingly took the prasadam with his dear associates. Seeing this, the Vaishnavas forgot to take their own prasadam. You can imagine. As they all watched, motionless, while tears of great joy trickled from their eyes, and their hands, which were in the act of bringing the prasadam to their mouths, just remained fixed for as long as this lila was manifest, just like. And this also took place at the time of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, when Krishna would play his flute, the cows, Hare Krishna, Svagatam, Svagatam, Radhe Radhe, welcome. The cows, they were in the middle of chewing their grass. And when they heard Krishna's flute playing, their ears became like cups. And they neither threw out the grass, nor did they swallow it. The grass was just hanging in their mouths. And their calves, who had previously been in the middle of drinking the milk from the udders of their mother, when they heard Krishna's flute sound, they didn't swallow the milk and they didn't spit it out. It just like stayed in their mouth hanging and then dripping from the two sides of their mouth. So similarly, whatever position whatever position these Vaishnavas were in the process of putting the food to their mouth, they just stayed there as long as this lila was manifested of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates taking prasadam and being fed by Malini and Sakshi Mata and Sita Thakurani, the wife of the Advaitacharya. Then, after a short time, the lila disappeared, and they gazed at one another and just wept. This is real association. Then, one, you know, you can imagine with that realization, knowing what the prasadam was and having just seen that lila, when they finally did take their prasadam, they were totally amazed by the taste, because it wasn't food. It was the leelas also. And as if in one single voice, all the bhaktas said, these two sons of the brahmanas are recipients of Gaurhari's mercy, because it happened at their initiation ceremony. And for this reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has manifested his leelas just now. And then Brajanath and Vijay Kumar said, and they were actually feeling it, not just saying it so that they look humble, but they were actually feelingly said, oh, we are worthless, wretched, and destitute. These are the symptoms of a Sharanagat devotee and also the symptoms of a pure devotee. We know nothing at all. We could only see all these things today by the causeless mercy of Guru and all of you Vaishnavas. Today, our taking birth has become meaningful. Then after they finished honoring the prasadam, they took permission from all the other Vaishnavas and returned to their home. From that day on, they bathe daily in the Ganga and offer their dandavat pranam to the feet of their new Diksha Guru. They would then take darshan of the deity forms of Krishna in the mandir and circumambulate Tulsi, just like we do in the morning and in the evening. And we do it as Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and now they're doing it on another level. In this way, every day they would come, take darshan of the deity, take darshan of their Gurudev, and circumambulate Tulsi, and take instructions. So then, this is going on every day for about 4 or 5 days. And then they presented themselves at in the evening time at Shiva Sangam, when Sandhya Arati was going on. So these old great souls, they do the same thing as we do. Or conversely, we're doing the same exact activities. Hare Krishna, angrezi samajhte hai? Aap angrezi samajh sakte hai? Angrezi samajh sakte hai? Okay, theek. Okay. Hum jaiva dharma pad rahe hai. So we can then pray as we're doing the same activities as them, that when, and Gurudev said, when is the most important word in our vocabulary? When will that day come to us when we can do it in the spirit of these Vaishnavas? So that doing it, the personalities actually reveal their leelas to us. Tulsi Devi or Vrinda Devi, Mahaprabhu at Sandhya Artik, Radha Madhava at Sandhya Artik, and so on. So Sandhya Artik, when they arrive, Sandhya Artik and Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, were already over. And Raghunath Das Babaji sat in his kutir, chanting his Harinam in a very sweet voice. They both offered pranam to him and lovingly placed his lotus feet. They took his lotus feet and put it on their heads. And then he inquired about their welfare. So when they saw this opportunity for that they could say something, they said, "O Master, by your mercy we have properly understood Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Now we are very anxious to understand Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti." Actually, Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti begins in its actual state rather than semblance. Semblance begins at ruchi, when there's actual taste for chanting and doing devotional services. But Raghunuga is factually performed at the stage of Bhava Bhakti, getting there in Asakti, when one sees the Lord and his pastimes reflected in the heart. Hare Krishna, Dhanyavad Ane Ke Liye. And in its maturity, Raghunuga Bhakti is practiced in Bhava Bhakti. So when these personalities are hearing something from their guru, they're not just hearing. It's actually coming in their heart. So when they say, "If you think that I'm qualified to hear this answer, could you please tell me the answer to this question?" That means if you think I'm qualified, that it should come in my heart. So when they heard about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, they were actually realizing what they were hearing. And now they're about to experience, by the hearing process, Raghunuga Bhakti. So how many millions of births will it take us to become disciples in a real sense? So they said, now we're anxious to understand. And anxious means there's a greed for it. Just like if one has a greed for cake and ice cream, for example, you're totally riveted there and everything else is gone from the memory. So that's what anxious means. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami said, and our Srila Prabhupada also used to quote, even when we were brand new devotees at 26 Second Avenue in 1966, he said, Srila Rupa Goswami said, there's only one price for Krishna consciousness, and that is the anxiety to have it. So please instruct us, they're begging, in Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So Babaji Mahasaya was very pleased to hear this, and he said, Sri Gaurachandra, Sachinandan Gaurhari, has taken both of you as his own, and that's why he's making all these arrangements. So listen carefully, because you've already achieved everything, because he's taken you as his own. Now it's just a question of making it fully realized through these instructions. So now listen carefully as I explain to you about Raganuga Bhakti. So first, he's offering his dandavat pranams at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. Then Mahaprabhu liberated from the association of the Muslims, and to whom he instructed on Rasa Tattva at Prayag. All this we can read about in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then Srila Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya says, I then take shelter of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who's the supreme first Rupanuga follower. Why? Because he's just like a black bumblebee tasting the nectar of Braj Ras. So when a qualified speaker speaks, and we also as unqualified speakers imitate, they first take shelter of all the great predecessor acharyas so that their beings will come into the presentation, and they'll be like mouthpieces or instruments. He said also Raghunath Das Goswami was liberated from gross materialism by Sachinandan Gaurhari. And Raghunath Das Goswami himself said that he pulled me out of the bottomless well of materialistic household life. And further glorifying Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Babaji Mahasaya says that after delivering him, Mahaprabhu put his hand physically into the hand of his own personal associate, Sri Sarup Damodar. And therefore, and thereby, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami got the name Swarupera Raghunath. He's the Raghunath of Sarup Damodar, or he's Sarup Damodar's apostrophe S, Raghunath. So he said, before I tell you about the process of Raganuga Bhakti, I'm going to tell you what is the nature of Raganuga Bhakti. So then Brajanath says, well, I don't even know what rag is. So first I need to know what rag is. Because rag anuga, anuga means following. If I don't know what rag is, how do I know what I'm following? So Babaji says, when materialistic people are in contact with the objects of senses, they naturally become deeply attached, like I was saying about the ice cream and cake. When certain sense objects meet with the senses, as Krishna was describing in Bhagavad Gita, by contemplating the objects of the senses, attachment comes. From attachment, lust arises. From lust, anger, and then all the subsequent procedures there. So one becomes attached to the endless variety of sense gratification activities. So this intense attachment is called Vishaya Rag. Rag means great attachment and longing for that object of the senses. Vishaya means material sense gratification. Attachment and material sense gratification. When a materialist's eyes glance upon any objects of sense, the eyes become very restless. This is the contact of the senses with their objects. The eyes become very restless to enjoy that beautiful object. Even if it's not beautiful, we think it is. So that is called material rag. So what is raga bhakti? What is raga leka? Can you answer that one? Raga lata, rather. Louder.
Lata is a creeper, and rag is spontaneous loving devotion. So raga lata is the creeper of devotion.
Is that a person?
I don't think so.
I think so. I don't think he would make you the servant of a creeper. Must be somebody's name, too. For example, Radharani is Ragalata. She is the creeper of devotion, and all of her sakis are the flowers and leaves coming from that creeper. So what is Raga Bhakti? For any of you who don't know, she is Ragalata. So what is Raga Bhakti then? Raga, we know, means intense attachment and longing, thirst for that object of the senses. So it's the state in which Krishna becomes the object of rag, of that intense attachment. So now I'm going to read the verse by Srila Rupa Goswami that's quoted by Babaji Mahasaya regarding the definition of rag. And this is also quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatana Goswami. Ishte svara ki raga parama vistita bhavet tanmayi yabhavet bhakti shatra raga nikodita. Rag is the unquenchable loving thirst for the object of one's affection, which gives rise to spontaneous and intense absorption in that object. So what is it? It's the unquenchable loving thirst for the object of one's affection that gives rise to a spontaneous and intense attachment for that object of affection. So ragamayi bhakti is the performance of service with that rag, with that attachment and thirst, such as the same thing that we do, stringing garlands. That's an example of a ragatmika activity. With intense rag, stringing a garland with intense rag, that Krishna is going to wear this, that he will be pleased by the fragrance. He'll know that I made it. Just by looking at it and by smelling it, he'll know that I made it. And he'll be so pleased. Then he continues. Rag is undivided, means the total attention is there, unquenchable thirst. And for the object of affection, which leads to spontaneous and intense attachment for that object of affection. So how intense it is? It is totally undivided. Undivided, the word used here in Sanskrit is swarasiki. Swarasiki means Like there's just a flow, like a waterfall, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. So thoughts of the beloved keep coming and coming and coming, like that. Absorption, here they use the Sanskrit, avishtita. Avishtita means you're completely lost. You can't think of anything else. Like a mad person is completely lost in one's own object of worship. So when devotion to Krishna comes on this level of ragmayi, then it is called ragamika bhakti. So to say it in other words, intense hankering for Krishna that is saturated with prema. So what does saturation mean? Let's say you take a cloth and you want to dye it red. So you get red dye, and the red dye powder, red is red, has a certain saturation. So you put the cloth in the red dye, but it doesn't come out quite as saturated as the red dye itself. So you wring it out. And then you put it in again, and then it gets more red. Wring it out. Then you put it again. And when it's exactly the same color, that cloth is the same color as the dye itself, then that is called full saturation. So when the hankering for Krishna is fully saturated with prema, that is called ragamika bhakti. It is auspicious that a person in whose heart such rag has not arisen should strive to cultivate that ragatmika bhakti. He wants to attain it. Anyone who doesn't have it, his only business is to attain it. Because that's the only reason we were created, was to have ragatmika bhakti. Isn't that good? What happened in all these births? And how? Strive to attain it by following the regulations to attain it. When Vaidhi Bhakti, there's not that great striving to attain that. Vaidhi Bhakti is performed more out of fear that if I don't do it, I'll go to hell. Well, I don't want to become Radharani's maidservant, but I don't want to go to hell either. So I'll do, I mean, not that I don't want to become Radharani's servant, it's just that I don't really care that much. But I know I should want to become a maidservant, and I definitely don't want to go to hell, so I'll do sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti. It's performed with reverence, with respect, with awe. I accept that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the other hand, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is performed on the basis of that greed to become a maidservant of Radhika. I have to have it, I'll die if I don't have it. As I mentioned some days ago, I told Gurudev, because he was speaking about Raghunath Das Goswami and Vallabh Kusumanjali, how he made a prayer to Radharani that if you don't give me your darshan immediately, I'm just about to die. I'm already caught in a conflagration, a big forest fire. Can you imagine if you're in a fire and you're just about to die next second? So that's what he was actually feeling like. I'll die in the next second if you don't give me your darshan now. So I told Gurudev, well, that's how I feel about eating. If I feel if I don't eat, then I'll die. He said, yes, that is your problem. So that is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So when there's intense greed of that intensity in relation to Krishna's Leela, that is called, that performance under the guidance of the self-realized soul who's situated in Ragamika Bhakti, situated in Ragamika Bhakti, but he's acting as an example of a perfect Raganuga Bhakta. Because how can he act like a Raganuga Bhakti? You don't find Mother Yasoda coming here in that form, or a Manjari coming in that form. We're not qualified to see that. So they come in their sadhak male forms as Raganuga sadhakas. So then Rajanath is asking, well, who has the qualification for that kind of bhakti? And then Babaji replies, to have qualification for Vaidhi, to have faith in Vaidhi, that bestows the adhikar, or the qualification for Vaidhi. It's whatever you have faith in. If you have faith in Raganuga Bhakti, then that's your qualification. The whole thing rests in faith. Faith imbued with or saturated with greed for entering into Krishna's Leela, Braj Leela, that is the qualification for Raganuga Bhakti. Very simple. So I'll ask now if there's any questions or comments. And tomorrow we'll get into the process. Yes? What? Raganuga is sadhan. It's Raganuga sadhan bhakti. There's Vaidhi sadhan bhakti, which has its foundation in following the scriptural injunctions out of fear, reverence, and respect. Raganuga Bhakti has its foundation in greed to attain service in Braj as a follower of one of Krishna's associates according to what his swarup is, his constitutional nature. But it's still, they follow the scriptures, but not the, only to assist them. Like, okay, I need some meditations now so that I can really pray good. I want to find out more about Raghunath Das Goswami so I can, like that, rather than having the foundation be the rules and regulations. Does that make more sense? It's both sadhana. Any other questions? Radha Raman, do you have any questions today? Maybe next year. Any other questions or comments? Very cool. All right, so if there's no questions, we'll just continue a little further. Yes?
Are you born specifically with having the qualification?
Louder?
You say that faith gives you the qualification to direct Raganuga Bhakti, but are some people just born with to have that faith there, or can they develop that to switch over from Vaidhi to Raganuga?
So the question is, that if the qualification for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti or Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is simply a matter of faith in that process, is it that one is born with that faith, or does one attain it during his life? Can one attain it during his life? That's your question? So the answer is that after many, many births of performing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, if one has proper association of a Raganuga Bhakta, playing the role of a Raganuga Bhakta, and he's developed enough advancement from his many, many millions of previous lives of performing bhakti in good association, then he will have that faith. Either have the faith at birth from his previous life, and he's just now finishing it up because he was so advanced. But maybe he made it to Ruchi or Asakti in his last life, and then he left his body, and now he's starting at that point, like these people in this book. Or if he hasn't been born with it, if he still has that, all that on the background, then he can develop it very quickly in this life. And if not, if we don't have sufficient sanskars from many, many lives, now we first have to collect it. And we're all sitting in the same temple, but actually, you may have a million births in the past, you may have 3 million, I may have 5 births, which I think is what I probably have, because I'm so junior. Actually, I said to Gurudeva back in 1993, in ISKCON, I'm like practically one of the most senior devotees in all of ISKCON. But in your association, and in, you know, the association around you, I feel like I'm junior to the junior. So he said, yes, you're only a 1 or 2 day newborn baby. Any other questions or comments? We started Radhanuga Sadhana Bhakti today, actually. Just getting started, chapter 21 of Jivadharma. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, I'll read just a bit more. So, who's the example of Ragatmika Bhakti? It's the associates in Braj. In Dwarka, there are the queens of Krishna who also have what you could call an intimate relationship. They're Krishna's wives. But they're not examples of pure Ragatmika Bhakti. Their Ragatmika Bhakti is mixed with Aishwarya Bhav. So they're like Aishwarya Ragatmika Bhaktis. But pure Ragatmika Bhakti, where rag is pure, where the attachment is the most intense, with the greatest thirst, that's only in Braj. And among the Brajavasis, the gopis are the most highest, because they have the most intense longing and attachment to Krishna. So one who has the great fortune to have greed for the same bhav as one of the Ragatmika Bhaktas, the Brijbasis, they have the qualification for Raganuga Bhakti. The greed is the qualification. There's no other qualification. Gurudev gave the example of some ugly, lame, toothless guy who sees the car, the beautiful car of some princess, and he immediately becomes fixed on her, and he's thinking, I would love to marry her. He's not thinking, what's the difference between me and her? He's just fixed. He doesn't care whether he's qualified or not. So that is the qualification. I once asked Gurudev, how can I, this is back in the 90s, how can I, such a fallen person, like considering what I did all my life before I met Prabhupada, I mean even after I met Prabhupada, how can I expect to attain something that you always say that Brahma and Lakshmi cannot attain? Lakshmi, the consort of Narayan. So he said, this question shows you have no greed. Like, if you had any greed, you wouldn't care. So then Brajanath is asking, he's not there yet? He's there. Are you ready? Okay. So then Brajanath is asking, well, what's the qualification to get that greed? What are the symptoms of the greed, rather? How do I know when I have it? So Babaji Maasai replies, when one hears the intensely sweet pastimes of Krishna and his associates in Braj. Then one's intelligence begins to consider, how can I enter into those pastimes? And then he starts thinking more and more, and he develops a longing. So that desire is a symptom of greed. When my godbrothers, the GBC members, were meeting with Gurudev in the early 90s, they were asking about this, because they were expressing that they had some, you know, interest as Gurudev was giving them the classes in Vallabh Krishnanjali and Gopi Geet and other subjects. So Gurudev said, it may be that you have curiosity. So there's a difference between curiosity and the actual desire. Like if you desire something, it's really there. So when the desire is there, that how can I enter? I must enter. This is so tasteful that I must enter. Then that's the symptom of greed. Or at least the beginning of greed. So a person who has the qualification for Vaidhi Bhakti, he tests everything on the platform of his intelligence. Well, what's the proof of that? Well, how do I know that Radharani as the Swarup Shakti, if she's only Shakti, then how is it that she could possibly control Krishna, who is the Shaktiman, the one who created Shakti in the first place? So let me inquire. That would be somebody who has the qualification for Vaidhi Bhakti. Whereas somebody who has the qualification for Raganuga Bhakti, he would say, wow, Radharani is controlling Krishna. She's so great. How can I become her maidservant? And it's not just in the words, it's in the feeling. Because even a person who has greed for Raganuga Bhakti, he might also inquire of his spiritual master that philosophical question, but in amazement, rather than trying to understand with his intelligence by reasoning, by logic. And when he hears Krishna Katha, he only accepts it if there's supporting evidence to it. He has to have proofs for everything. There's no such consideration. Just like by logic, suppose I love a man who's already married to some other lady. So, by logic, it's a very bad thing to do. By logic, it's a hurtful thing to do also, if the other wife finds out. So by logic, I won't do it. But if I have so much greed for that man, I don't care who I hurt, and I don't care about the logic or the morality of it. I just go for it. So there's no consideration of a perverted reflection. There's no consideration of logic or reason if one actually has Raganuga in his heart. So we'll end here. Tomorrow we will find out about the glories of Srila Bhaktivedanta Vaman Goswami Maharaj for his appearance day. And there's tons of programs everywhere. Mathura at 10 o'clock, at Rup Sanatan, I'm not sure what time. Here, immediately after Mangal Arati, because we know that everybody wants to go to the other places too. And because Thakurji is here, we observe it here, but very early in the morning. And that's tomorrow. And I think Savita Didi is giving the very early morning class. And of course, as usual, unless Krishna desires that I don't, I'll give the evening class on Srila Vama Maharaj. So, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai, Ki Jai Vidharma Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. She's